the fungi, they don't destroy any life whatsoever.
What's up, Myco family? Microtrovic here, and welcome back to the Microtrovic podcast. I'm here today with two very special guests from probably my favorite company in the entire mycology community as a whole. I am joined by the two owners, operators of Myco Alchemy. That is Jeremiah Busain and Kevin Ruiz. Hi, guys. How are you doing today?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having us.
You guys, thank you for making some time to come on the show. I'm really excited. There's obviously a lot of like behind the scenes stuff that's happened with your guys' company and me over the years. A lot of knowledge and information that I even give out to my community, actually, particularly with you, Jeremiah. I started with you. I have to just like very quickly say that I always talk about the time that I got invited. Well, first and foremost, I met you because I followed Bodie Mountain Mycology, right, and was so interested in just everything mushrooms at the time. And the fact that you were in San Diego, I was in San Diego. I met up with you and I bought tinctures. I think I bought like a lion's mane, probably a reishi. And I forget what else I bought, but I was buying like cultures and I just like was asking so many questions. And eventually you're like, dude, just come on over. And I ended up going to your apartment, and in that apartment, you were making substrate, you were pressure cooking on Prestos and an All-American, you were pouring plates, and I was like, holy shit, I can do this too. Like, it was cool to see other people doing what I like loved, and then to get some mentorship and some guidance and just like some self-belief that you can do this and you can start something. All started with Myco Alchemy. So that's why I have you guys on the channel today. And I couldn't be more excited. So that's my spiel of like, you know, my introduction to you guys. But is there anything you can add into the origin? I know, Kevin, I think you kind of came on a little later into the company, but now it's just like you guys are the two main operators. You obviously have this beautiful like clean room. I saw you guys constructing this, I think, last 2 weeks. You have the blue Myco pressure sterilizer. You guys are like decked out wall to wall with flow hoods, and you guys pump out some of the like the most organic, biodynamic, beautiful product, reliable product, fast shipping that, I mean, you guys are kind of like setting like industry standards. So that's kind of why I want to talk to you guys and have your expertise on the show today. So let's just kind of go.
Damn, appreciate all the love, man. Super flattered. And yeah, that origin story always cracks me up. And super patient family, allowing me to just turn our house into a laboratory and produce product. And, you know, and then that actually grew pretty rapidly to be just not manageable inside a condo. And that's when things branched out and I had met Kevin, and we took it from, you know, in the kitchen to an actual commercial space. Kevin had the space and had a lot of knowledge and is super great at inventing things, has an incredible amount of ingenuity and innovation. So things took off for us as a team.
Yeah, man.
That's awesome.
It was a good time. It almost felt meant to be. You know, before we were a supply company, we were growers. That was what got us into it and interested. And then along the way, we were like, wow, there's really a need for supplies. And I got in and I was, you know, of course, like everybody else, I'm going to grow 100 pounds, 1,000,000 pounds. I'm going to get rich. And then you realize the amount of work that's going into it. I'm multitasking different projects. And finally, the partner that I was with on that grow, I told him, hey, man, I don't have all the time to do the grain. And my wife's kind of getting mad that I'm making the house hot because I'm running the pressure cookers and, you know, yep, on the stove. And she doesn't know what's going on. And so she's getting really worried. She got over it pretty quick. So I was like, hey, man, is there a company that we could just purchase these products from? And my partner at the time was like, yeah, I know these guys. And I was getting stuff from them. And I said, let's just start ordering from them. And that happened to be Bodie Mountain Mycology. Wow. And, you know, we're going through it. We're doing all the work. And then it dawned on me, like, I'm spending these thousands of dollars with Bodie Mountain. And I'm like, why don't we start a supply company? And he says, well, you know, the community's very tight knit. If nobody knows you, they're not going to purchase from you. You're not going to be able to make sales because, you know, it's a very tight knit, closed community. And, you know, you got to be a pillar. You got to know somebody for people to trust in your product. And so I told him, well, who are we purchasing from? Why don't you ask them if they would be interested in partnering up? And it was crazy because I didn't know that Jeremiah and Zach were these mad scientists in their apartments making all of this stuff. When I heard that they were blowing it out in their living room and their kitchen and providing these products, I was like, you know what? I have a warehouse I'm going to let go. Why don't you guys come down? So, you know, we got that mutual meeting and that's how it started. I had this big, beautiful warehouse that we were going to close down. It was completely empty. And it just so happened they were at the point of their company where they had outgrown their apartments and they were ready for the next step. So that's kind of how this all evolved. We kind of tripped up, stumbled a little bit in the beginning, but we've been doing much better now. So it's been a fun ride being part of this process. I like this community.
That's cool. I didn't know your side of it, Kevin, how you guys two, like the both of you guys converged. That's really interesting. So you had a need for product and then you found that like, wow, there's like actual, like, you know, like business here, and then basically teamed up. That's like the coolest shit ever. It's like grassroots found the need, and you guys are still like filling such a huge, we call it like a huge hole in the community. I mean, every day I get, you know, whether it's like, you know, I don't know, 4 to 5 emails either from you guys or I think maybe your newsletter or just like affiliate, like, you know, someone made a purchase for, you know, whether it's $30 or $400, like I'm seeing people consistently buying your product. And in my Discord server and Patreon, everyone uses you guys as a trusted vendor. So like, thank you for supplying them and continuing to do what you do. I have, you know, so many questions. I would guess in particular, because I know what you guys do, I don't know how you do it. And you guys have probably progressed so much from when I was buying grain and substrate there when I lived in California. But what were some of your first hurdles, you know, and you guys can each individually answer as well. But what were some of the biggest hurdles at first that you like really had to wrap your mind around? And then how have those become like your like standard practice or standard operating procedures now?
Communication. I'd say at the beginning there was a lot of yelling, a lot of arguments,
it's always
a lot
good
of disagreements, and it was learning how to work together, how to, you know, work through our differences, and kind of to just have our differences kind of help us and help us shine, coming up with new things that we would kind of like agree on together. But we both have a huge passion for mushrooms. I'm a believer in that they heal and they help people with post-traumatic stress and anxiety and depression. For me, that's kind of where my passion grew. I would take mushrooms recreationally growing up as a kid. And I remember being super overwhelmed with life, super stressed out. Somebody invited me to go camping. They had mushrooms. We ate these mushrooms. And I mean, it was just such a wild ride. What a great night. And I remember coming back from that one night, like, man, I feel like I just took a vacation for a week. It's like all the stress was gone. All the anxiety was gone. I felt like I could breathe. I'm like, man, I feel like I can actually manage these problems and just life in general. So that special relationship developed with that once I realized the correlation. And so that's something I would do every 3-4 months. If life got overwhelming, I would go sit around the fire with some friends and we'd eat some mushrooms. And so I kind of just fell in love with it and saw how it can help and heal people. And being in the cannabis industry, it got so greedy. It got really ugly being in that scene, and everything was about money. And it was, you know, patience over profits, and that turned into profit over patience too quick. And I had to make a move, and just meeting Jeremiah and the guys was the right time, and falling into this thing. It felt like it was meant to be. So I'd say just communication in the beginning and kind of, you know, bringing our different backgrounds together and trying to get them to work together. What would you say? I'm interested to hear what some of your hurdles were. Me and Zach yelling at each other.
actually, real quick, I'm sorry, man, to go off topic, but I just feel like it's only right to plug Zach really quick and just shout him out.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. Shout outs.
One of the founding members. It was the trio, the three of us that really brought this up, you know, and then me and Kev have taken over the ship since and developed a lot of things since, but I just feel like it's only right to shout him out real quick.
On your side note, one of my like core memories in mycology is going to Zach's place. I met you guys on your grain day, and I watched Zach, you know, going from his little back outdoor patio, like, you know, with I think he was using bubble bags to like drain the water out of the, the grain. And like, you know, and then you guys like taught me how to like fill the bags, weigh them, fold them, pack them in the pressure cooker, you know, times and pressure. You're like, so yeah, like Zach is like a huge pivotal part of that. And yeah, worth mentioning for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But okay, back on topic. Sorry about that.
Good.
I mean, I'd agree with Kev on like internal type hurdles, the communication, you know, and like he mentioned, learning how to like work through our differences, which also meant like learning how to recognize each other's strengths as well and play into those and realizing like, okay, you know, delegating things the most appropriate way that we could. There's no blueprint for this shit. You know, we kind of just made things up as we went. There's not a lot of companies doing this, and there's really no insight into how a lot of those guys did get to where they are. It was just, there's a lot to navigate, and, you know, being a new company with an incredible amount of demand, an overwhelming amount of demand, there's a lot, internal that goes on. But I'd say like some of the things I remember, like early days, like as far as like physical hurdles, you know, at the time before Blue Myco developed these sterilizers, the market was like all Americans or a $60,000 retort from China that need, you know, you have to have an engineer install and blah, blah, blah. Yep. Right. So, you know, running like 20 fucking all Americans at, I'm sorry, F bomb, but running.
Yeah,
like
we're cool. Guns. We're okay, fucking okay. Doing it.
All right, good. We're free.
No, you're good.
Yeah, so like, you know, juggling 20 All-Americans on propane burners, trying to like crank out product and just like no technology to really bridge the gap of production that we needed at the time, you know? And so that was really freaking intense. And then eventually the technology came in with Blue Myco, who I don't know, you know, how many of your viewers know this, but they're pretty much neighbors to us. They're a couple cities down the freeway. And so we were pretty active with them in like developing these. I mean, this is their product and they engineered all this, but we were the first people to get hands on a unit and give them a lot of the feedback and like really kind of perfect how to run them, giving them insights on where things could be improved for the user and whatnot. So when this came in, that really helped us in a massive way get over one of the biggest like production hurdles that we had at the time, and really allowed us to just get to the next level. And like you were saying, so one of these hurdles that we overcame but has now become just like our standard practice is, you know, that's what first came to mind is the Blue Myco sterilizer, because now we have protocols, and I'm pretty confident to say, you know, a little cocky to say, but like we run it probably better than anyone we know, just because a lot of the people in the community are pretty tight knit and we talk about problems that we have even from company to company. Some of, you know, us, the bigger producers and whatnot, we know, we all know each other by name and we talk and stuff like that. And so we've tried to help navigate problems with people, and we've even become, you know, consults on the sterilizer, because we took the time when this came out to really break it down. And again, we have really diverse backgrounds. Like I did commercial air conditioning and worked on boilers and cooling towers and, you know, industrial equipment. And Kevin's got a lot of construction background and pretty mechanically savvy. And so
extraction, I was big in the extraction.
Interesting.
I think the cannabis. So working with this metal, the stainless steel, the tri-clamp, we understood pressure, cold and heat, how it's interacting, you know, what's going on internally. We're not scientists or engineers by any means, but with our two backgrounds, it made it for me and Jeremiah to kind of get together and really dial this machine in. Of course, Zach was here in the beginning helping us out, but it was a transition going from their 310 to the 1080.
Yeah.
But I'd say, you know, learning how to just streamline these processes, because we went from getting hundreds of orders to thousands of orders. And when you start making sterile products or pasteurized product on that scale, you can't afford to skip any corners, because then, you know, the product's going to suffer and people are going to waste money. So it was learning how to produce more product for the growing demand without sacrificing quality.
Yeah.
And it kind of just worked for us because when we got together, you know, I've owned multiple businesses. And one of the things that I've always found was the professionalism. A lot of people are starting out and they really aren't, you know, the customer service isn't there, the professionalism, they're kind of running it like they're running something out of a trap house, as opposed to setting up an email for customers, somebody getting back to that, dealing with problems and getting on top of that. So I feel like the customer service was one of the hurdles that we had to overcome, but it was one of the things that really helped our company. We care about the people that are spending their money with us. They're helping us feed our kids. You know, I'm not going on vacation every other month. I mean, I'm providing for a family, and everybody that's purchasing our products is helping. So you are in turn, you know, part of my family, and we take that serious. So we bring the customer service and the professionalism, you know, and try to set that bar with that to make sure people are getting quality products and that they got the support that they need. We, you know, we wish we had more time for education, but that's why we're so glad that we have you. That way we have somebody that's what you do. You're gifted at it. You know, you got a great voice for it. People love you. I mean, we appreciate the heck out of you, man, because you definitely are a big part of our business. I've been excited to get on your podcast since you started it. I kept telling Jeremiah, like, you know, hit him up. Let's bug him. I'm trying to get on. He's like, he's getting there. Just be patient. So it's it's fun to be a guest on here, man. Ask us anything. We're ready to share any info or any insights that you guys are curious about.
Sure, sure. Well, thank you for that. And yeah, in all my videos, I'm referencing, you know, these products, and it's always, you know, use discount code Mycotrophic for a discount on your next Mycoalchemy order. So it's like, and it's something I've always mentioned too, even in my ad, it's that you guys are, you know, I wouldn't consider you guys a small business, but I would say, you know, you guys are like family owned small business and you're feeding someone's kids by buying products. That's something I've said continually, and it's true. And of course I get a little bit of feedback from that too, but it's helping feed your families, but also, you know, moving money through your business, which is helping you guys run and stay alive too. So like, I see that. And as far as customer service, I do have to mention that, like, it's very few and far between that you're going to be able to get on the phone with someone. I've, you know, whether it's like, you know, you guys know, like giveaway boxes, if something goes awry, like you guys are always, and even with me, like in the past, like I've never had, if I've had an issue, I guess as a grower, I understand that like shit can happen. You can just have bad batches. It's understandable. So I'm like, I can't get mad at like minor mistakes, but you guys are always willing to, you know, help the consumer, help the customer, because those people are all, if they see that, then they know that at least if there's a small chance that they have some kind of a mishap or issue with their product, at least they know that it's going to get taken care of. And that's how you like keep and retain customers and create forever customers and also referrals. So like the professionalism you talk about, Kevin, like you guys have always brought that, and that's something I can really appreciate.
Thank you.
So I guess moving on, I would say, like, obviously you guys have hurdles and you guys are, you're dishing through these things, like probably like every day, like just me, like even like whether it's technical or just even life, like you guys have lives outside of this too. How are you guys finding balance with, you know, maintaining all these orders and then, you know, also like maintaining family? Like, I think that's a huge business question. There's that whole thing of like work-life balance. I don't think there's a balance. I think it's like a dance, and you kind of have to like learn the moves of that, you know, but what does that like look like for you guys on your side?
Yeah, that's, I mean, go ahead.
Kevin's like, I got to think about that.
I've had multiple discussions with the wife because it feels like sometimes you can't turn it off. You know, we truly care about our customers. So sometimes we stress out when there's problems happening or different things. And I think the main thing for us is just turning the phones off, setting the time, you know, at this time, yes, I'm done with this and I got to move on. It is tough, man. I find us, you know, I feel bad. Jeremiah takes a day off and he still gets 3 or 4 phone calls, and I'm trying not to call him, but I'm like, if I call him, I'll find the answer in a second, help this customer, and we're moving on. And it's tough finding a balance. I'm struggling with it, to be honest with you, but my wife is being patient.
Yeah, it's tough, man. You know, I mean, the best we can do, and we appreciate that customers understand, but we take Saturday, Sunday off. You know, inevitably things come up and there's shit that we got to navigate on the weekend and stuff. But for the most part, you know, we take Saturday, Sunday off and try to honor that. But, you know, small biz owners, we don't have a huge team. You know, actually right now we're down pretty low on employees, and So, you know, learning to delegate well and manage well is a big part in freeing up our time. Communication between the two of us, because we run such a small, tight crew. And a lot of this stuff, I don't know, you know, me and Kevin are hands-on making a lot of the stuff. So we've learned to have mini powwows and like, okay, what are we doing? Game plans, you know, and just trying to map out our days super efficiently. We do, you know, a handful of different things. So managing that and trying to like, you know, really train our crew well and make them, you know, the best they can be at what they're doing to minimize, you know, issues and get through the day as smooth as possible. But yeah, you know, there's always shit that comes up that has to be navigated after hours or figured out. And, you know, but just really communication's key to minimizing that, being the most efficient we can with our time on. And that Saturday, Sunday's golden, man. You got to at least give that to the kids.
We are religious about that. We take our Saturdays and Sundays serious. I know a lot of people, we've lost business over it, but it's something that we've been not willing to sacrifice or budge on because it's not fair to our families. You know, when you're building something up like this, there is no, oh, you're lucky. No, there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. There's a lot of stress. There's a lot of poor, how am I going to pay my bills moments. I mean, we were really struggling, sheer will to get it going, but it's been a ride. So we definitely take the weekends off now and take them serious. That's been the best thing to kind of turn it off.
I love that. So designated time where you're turning things off and spending time with your families to decompress so you guys can come back full cup instead of half cup all the time. Yeah, like burning the candle at both ends. I feel that. So it's good. It's good to hear. So speaking of efficiency, I want to kind of talk about your guys' like workflow. So what do you guys find yourself doing most often? I know you guys are sitting in your clean room right now, which I saw you guys constructing or reconstructing recently. I was there when you guys were first building, like at that mock clean room. And that was cool to me, but like, it seems you guys have made some improvements and, what does your guys' workflow on the daily look like? I have to guess that it's different every day in some capacity, but do you find yourself doing stuff every day, every week, every month kind of a thing? Or is it just different every day?
I mean, it can change a little bit depending on what type of bulk orders are coming in, but part of being efficient is us sitting down and being like, okay, Mondays are for this and Tuesdays are for that. And, you know, so we try to map out the week and stick to it the best we can. There's always got to be flexibility because, you know, things change. A humongous grain order could come in and then that, you know, changes the week and the focus of the week or sub or whatever that may be, you know. So it can vary, but we try to delegate days to certain things. You know, they're shipping, keeping on top of shipping and getting fast shipping down, you know, that has a priority. And you want to speak on that, kind of elaborate?
You know, we just got through a big boom. We hit a downslide for a while. Now it's back up. Market got saturated. Everything slowed down for everyone for a while. We went from having 10 plus employees to down to having 3. And so we're redoing our processes. But typically, you know, Jeremiah handles shipping. I'm doing customer service. And then we're in between on everything. We got a separate department that handles sub. Sub's pretty straightforward. It's really the grain, the sterile work, the lab work. So we're trying to iron out where we have set days where we're, you know, this day we're in the lab, you know, this day we're doing grain. So we try to do shipping Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, and then, you know, stuff in between. But like he said, we're kind of taking it day by day. If orders coming in, we're getting on top of it. We were having grain and sub produced every single day. Now, you know, the grain is made to order. It being a perishable product, we didn't want to be cooking 400 or 500 bags and then it's sitting for 2 weeks. So one of the things we like to do is make an order, and as soon as the grain comes out, seal it, store it in a temperature controlled room, and give it about 3 to 4 days to sit. That way we could see if anything's going to happen, anything's going to sour. That way when we're packing that final order, we're mitigating the casualties. So we're kind of just in adjustment mode right now, kind of enjoying it. It's swinging back up, and we're keeping it, like you said, with a tighter crew. So we feel like we have more, so the fly coming through, we have more, more control over stuff, and we're getting to see where we had some problems and, fixing stuff. So it's kind of been a blessing, but day by day, we're trying to get a work schedule set. So we're in certain places on certain days. It's tough, you know, we're wherever we need to be for the customers.
I feel that. Okay. So kind of like filling the needs as they come up, but also creating somewhat of a structure. And it's understandable, like, you know, if you're like creating like one product, it's pretty easy to do it either by order or just have a bunch on stock. But you guys are also working with things that need to be clean. So have you guys refined your clean process? Like I've gotten very few things from you ever. And like I said, I talked about prior, like you guys have worked with me to replace it or we work out some kind of like a deal or whatever. Like you always take care of me. You always take care of my people. But how many flow hoods do you guys have in that room? Now I could see two, but I think, are they wrapped around right now?
There's five in here. We have one creating positive pressure up on the ceiling, and then we have four. Yes. So it's, you know, it's always running in here, scrubbing everything. So if any air gets sucked in the sterilizer, which, you know, it's hot and then it cools down, it's going to pull in air if it's not tight. That way it's clean. Right. So we pretty much, we turned our flow hoods off for this so you can hear us, but these flow hoods pretty much never turn off. This is the cleanest air in Lake Elsinore. I always tell people when they come over and check it out, I'm like, you're not going to breathe healthier air. I should be charging you for being in here. It's so clean.
Yeah, right. But yeah, true. Awesome.
Rocking five, but it comes right out of the sterilizer, sits on the table in front of two, moves over to the other two as it gets sealed, and then it works its way up into our front room where we have it temperature controlled. But yeah, we're rocking five here. We have another lab, and then in that lab we have four. It's a 15 by 15 square room, just enough space in there, and we're rocking four in that one. And we've been loving that lab. We've been really loving it. A lot of open grain to grains, and it's been just no problems in there. So I like having a nice closing lab.
Have you guys been doing, is that where you do like your agar and things of that nature, culture work, things like that?
Yeah. Exactly.
So that's awesome.
We have the Lake Elsinore location. This is where we sterilize we do the grain, sterilizing grain, and we do our shipping from here and our freight pickups and shipping. And then at the other location is our sub location. We have a mixing machine to help mix up the sub. We finish it off by hand. And then we do have like a grain room as we're playing with spawn and different things. One of the key things that we've been doing lately is every batch that comes through, we're actually working that at our other facility. So the goal is if we see a problem, we can contact the customer before they see something. So that's been really helping. Our quality control is doing a lot of gourmet stuff over there. So we're getting into doing more of the lion's mane and the reishis and ooh, the cold weather. I love it. A lot of the oysters.
Yeah. I just ordered 12 fruiting blocks from you guys, and I'm going to make it all reishi. Well, some lion's mane, but some reishi too. I'm super pumped for that. And something I wanted to add since I have you here is when I would go to Jeremiah's, he would have like Frankenstein plates. I think that's what you called them. And I was like, what? And they were just like plates that like, you know, like the very bottom of the media bottle where it starts to coagulate and it's like chunky. I would take all of those plates and then I would take them home and I would do like open air transfers. Cause I was like, fuck this still air box shit, man. You know, until I got myself a flow hood, you know, but man, to go from that to like, you guys are like over here doing grain to grains, working on all these like, you know, beautiful cultures and pumping out product. It's just been amazing to watch. What are some of your things you guys are looking forward to in the future? Do you guys see any trends that are starting to like pop up? Or I know you see, and you also kind of felt that there was a lull in the overall market for, I would say like 3 months. And I was talking to a lot of other vendors at the Oklahoma Mushroom Festival about this too. They were feeling it as well. I saw my numbers on just about everything kind of go down for a little bit. But I do feel that wave, I guess, kind of like building again. Are you guys taking advantage of that in any way? Are you working on anything new that you like want everybody to know you're working on? Is that like gourmet cultures heavy or I don't know, like anything that comes to mind?
You were talking about trends or anything coming up. You know, we started making the 3-pound bags. We saw that pick up the popularity, people doing more bag tech when we got in. There was like one guy doing it that we knew of. Everybody was running tubs. And so we started marketing and pushing for the grow bags. And that seems to have taken off. You know, the downside to that is the plastic waste. So we've been trying to find ways to mitigate the plastic waste, lower our carbon footprint. One of those is introducing the 5-pound bags of Milo versus the threes. You know, that's significantly helping kind of balance that out. But I'd say the number one right now, the number one is the all-in-one grow bags. And the scary thing about that is people aren't taking the time to perfect those. So we're getting to the point now where on average weekly, we have people calling like, where's the injection port with my sub bag? And we have to explain to them, well, this is not an all-in-one bag. And they're like, oh, or people that got a free bag and injected it and were like, nothing's happening. It's like, okay, well, talk me through your process. And it's like no mention of grain at all. So I'd say the all-in-ones to the point where the new guys coming in see a bag of sub and they think you just inject it. So that's, we're working through that right now. Yeah, we had one guy that was quite upset about it. And he told him, you know what, boss, just send that back. We're going to issue the refund, no problem. But the all-in-one bags, that's the next big thing. That's the future of it, I think, for a lot of people, skipping steps, lowering overhead, making this more affordable. That's the next trend is the price went down so much on the active side that it's figuring out how to tighten up the SOP to make things cheaper. So those two things right there are the big things that we've been seeing. And we're close. We're working on an all-in-one bag. We can't release it till that thing's going to be 90% successful or more. I know, you know, putting grain with substrate, sterilizing that. I mean, you want to talk more about that? That just, it could get scary. There's people taking major losses with that right now.
Yeah, we saw the market flooded with those prematurely and a lot of problems come up and gardens just straight up going under because they'd invested all in, right? So we've been tinkering with one for a bit. And like Kev said, we're just not really down to release it until it's really up to our standards and something that we could, you know, put our brand on and feel good about it. So that's an interesting trend we've seen. I think that another one is, like Kevin was saying, is, you know, we actually went through permaculture training to try and bring sustainability and lower our footprint in production in our company and try and fuse more, you know, permaculture and sustainable principles into the mycology market. But so that played into a lot of the things and adjustments we made, like Kevin had mentioned, with like the grain, using less plastic, larger bags. But also a factor of that was how slow the market got here in California. And it, I mean, it was at a complete standstill for a while. And so we had to try to figure out how to make products cheaper so that gardeners could continue and not go completely under. Because we saw so many farms go belly up during that period. And so there was the environmental incentive of making things more environmentally efficient, but also financial efficiency so that people continue gardening. And that was a huge part on why people are seeing our products across the board at bulk rate, why they're so cheap right now, is because literally, had we not made that move, people wouldn't be farming in California, or everyone would be forced to do things completely in-house. And so that was a big trend that we had to work with. And for us to also still be able to keep the lights on and the doors open, we had to figure out how to make that pricing happen for the consumer and still be able to make money on our end. And so that forced us into a lot of efficiencies on SOPs and stuff like that.
Gotcha. The all-in-one bags, I think I've ran them one time. They were a gift from, I couldn't even tell you, to be honest. It was like, the company doesn't even come to my mind, but I wasn't very impressed. And my biggest thing is like, man, you really have to dial that in. So there's like variables of like, if you're going to put grain right on top of like slightly higher than average field capacity substrate, your grain's going to rot. And then it's, I don't even know how to like address that. Like there was like a layer of verm, a layer of like what seemed to be sub, and then the grain. I don't even know the combination of which they did, but I look forward to seeing how you guys perfect. I'm sure you guys can. Like, your guys' product has always, like, just been amazing. I know you guys put a lot of quality and attention into the quality, because, like, what you put in is what you get out. And I remember, man, this was maybe a year, 2 years ago. I remember doing side-by-side comparisons using your guys' substrate and using just regular CVG, and there was a noticeable difference just in production, and even the, like, in the overall effects too. So how these, like, compounds are, you know, and or tryptophans precursor, you know, compounds are, they're in these, like, you know, calciums and all these different, like, things you guys are mixing into your products. It's felt in the end product. So I'm interested to see how that goes, or if that's even going to be a trend that continues. I'm not quite sure, but, yeah, I guess moving forward. So obviously you guys are, like, huge mycology guys. What are you guys doing outside of when you have those 2 days off, what do you guys like to do in your free time? I don't really get to talk to you guys about that very often. It's always kind of like business friendship with us, but, how are you guys, like, self-caring? How are you guys taking care of yourself when you do take your time off on the weekends?
I mean, I got a couple hobbies. Skateboarding. I got kids that are teens, so they're into stuff that I did as a kid, and they're getting me back into it. So, like, you know,
keeping
my
you
daughter
active.
Loves to skate, so we hit the skate park. I just take it way more mellow than I did, and then you know, surf. She's interested right. in surfing, so we hit the beach.
Yep.
And hiking. I mean, I really love foraging for mushrooms and just hunting. Actually, let me scratch that. I'm not a forager at all. I don't eat anything I find, but I like finding stuff and, like, taking pictures of it mostly. I upload shit to, what is it? The iNaturalist and stuff like that. So
yep.
Stuff like that, man, you know, just trying to get outdoors, be active, be healthy, as much of that as I can do with the kids, like the skating and surfing. Mm-hmm. Big music fan. So me and the wife, we're foodies. We love to go get food and
yeah, you guys
live
are.
Music.
Oh, yeah.
So stuff like that, man, you know, just try to some normal life stuff in between.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Kevin, what about yourself, man?
We used to have a lot of animals on a 3/4 acre property. And I mean, I had like 30 some chickens. I got 4 dogs, cows, growing, had a garden going. I got a new dog who helped me out, killed most of the chickens, unfortunately. So I'm down 7 and, you know, slaughtered the last cow and kind of got over that, did that for about 3-4 years and decided to take a break. So, recently just, you know, we did the permaculture stuff. So kind of incorporating that around the property, seeing how I can utilize the techniques and the things that I learned. So I've been getting into a lot of propagation, vegetables, gardens, I'm really big into, you know, mushrooms and permaculture. That's something that really interests me. So I've been kind of working stuff like that. Right now I got a raised bed going and, you know, I'm doing everything permaculture style. I'm laying down recycled cardboard that the guys are using as they're making and producing substrate. So I'm taking the vermiculite bags that are out of like a paper cardboard, using that as a moisture barrier, weed barrier. I've been mixing in a lot of the spent cakes and stuff like that, composting them and working them into soil, getting into the soil science part of it. I've been enjoying that. So I'm layering, you know, the gourmet blocks, which are primarily oak. It's a wood-based substrate. And, you know, putting that down, layering on top of that some of the spent cakes from Actives or whatnot with the Zen Blend. And then on top of that, incorporating the clay rich dirt that I have and letting that just get together. So I've been kind of just playing around with that, you know, teaching my kids that kind of stuff. I would like for my kids to have the opportunity to decide whether they want to be part of the system or just unplug and do their own thing. So I feel like learning self-sustainability is important. It's something that we lose. You know, I'm first generation Mexican. My parents are from Mexico. I was born here. And my wife's parents, same thing. And they just have just a wealth of knowledge of things that we would never even think about, like how to make soap or simple things that we can go to the store for. And it's like they have a solution on how to do a lot of that stuff in-house. So just kind of trying to soak that in from my from my father-in-law and learn from the elders and kind of like make sure that knowledge doesn't get lost and teach the kids. So getting into raising the livestock and feeding them and just, you know, recycling, just kind of been getting into that right now and enjoying that.
Love that. Well, it sounds like you guys are making huge impacts. You guys have surely made an impact on my community and more importantly, myself. And I look up to you guys a lot for what you do. Now, I have a couple questions here as we like start to end our podcast here. I wanted to first ask you guys if you guys each or collectively had a message that MycoAlchemy has or something that you're really trying to like push out to the market. What would you encapsulate or how would you encapsulate in that in words or like what means the most to you or what are some of your like guys' core tenets you're kind of like running off of?
Man, I love this question. Do you mind if I jump in?
Yeah,
that's on my mind. It's been on my whole podcast. So
get it.
A lot of times when people are having problems, you know, people are going to point fingers. You know, either the supplier is going to blame you or, you know, the person that's purchasing the supplies is going to blame the supplier. And our approach to that is if you have a question, problem, or concern, we want a phone call. Call us direct. We have the time to answer your phone. That is my main job. I love emails and text messages, but I prefer the phone call. I'm old-fashioned, getting direct to the problem and figuring out what's going on. We are never going to point fingers here. The end goal when somebody's having an issue is to figure out what's going on so that we can use education to resolve the issue. Because a lot of times that's what it is somebody bought a product thinking they got to use it a different way or they're missing a step and just don't have the knowledge. So when I'm able to talk with people, you know, we're able to find the solution. So I'd say one of the big things with our companies that a lot of people say is different is we don't blame anybody when there's a problem, question, or concern. We want you to contact us, and our goal is to resolve it by figuring out what's going on and using education. And that's when, you know, if people don't know everything or they're missing steps, you know, we take the time to help them out. And then if they want more knowledge, it's fantastic to get to network with you because then we say, we know this guy, Mike Trofik, he's the man when it comes to education. That's what he does. That's where his passion is. You know, it's very affordable to get information or search out his YouTube videos. And we put a lot of people on to you. So I'd say company motto is finding a solution to a problem and not blaming our customers. Figuring out what's going wrong because you are investing and we want to make sure you get a return on your investment. We care about that. So that's definitely been helping us out a lot. It's something that we focus on and believe in.
I like that. And so if I hear you right, it's not pointing fingers, it's solution oriented and continuing your customer's attention through some education, which makes total sense. Like, well, hold on, you have it all wrong. If you do this, then you can get this you're heading for. And yeah, that's empowering. But I also feel how there's like this bottleneck. I know you guys are super busy, or I shouldn't say busy, occupied all the time. Intentfully. So if I can help out with education anyway, like, man, maybe there's probably collaboration here where we could work together. Like if you guys, for instance, had like your 10 most common problems, I swear to God, I would make a video for it just for the MycoAlchemy problems playlist or whatever. That's cool. I like that, Kevin. Let me know. It's on record now. Okay. Let me know. I'll make some content for sure to help you guys out. Cause it helps me out too. And it helps the community as a whole. So why not? But Jeremiah, what about yourself, man?
Oh, like ethic motto. I mean, I'd say maybe the other side of that is, or the other side of focus on the company is, again, it just circles back to like the permaculture training that we had taken and, wanting to take care of people's needs, but also like take care of the planet, you know? So we're like people planet focused. We really took a lot of the stuff we learned in permaculture to heart and really trying to implement learning how to use things in circular systems and, you know, always finding the next highest purpose for things. We go through a lot of resources producing the products that we produce. And so trying to, you know, repurpose water and just repurpose anything, any form of energy that we can to its next higher purpose, making a positive impact on the planet and on people's lives. You know, we take it quite serious that we're growing medicine and it's really important for us to have, you know, the right intention and put out the right intention and energy in our products. And also, like, we're really prideful of our substrates. We use the absolute highest quality products, and you know, the compost that we use isn't, you know, collected from Becky's horse ranch. Like, it's literally very professionally crafted, biodynamic certified, the highest level of microbial activity that you can find in compost, and also done in a sustainable way. So that's kind of one of our drives. You know, that's a model for us, is producing the highest quality products while also doing it in the most sustainable ways, and having and carrying through that mindfulness and correct intention from, you know, beginning to end, and putting out just the best we can for our people and for the planet.
That's amazing, Jeremiah. I definitely can reassure you that that intention is bleeding through your products, and your intentions of both you guys are definitely manifesting in your business. And I think that's why you guys have continued customers. I think that you're going to continue to see a boom in your business and lifelong customers. Moving on to our last question of the show. So I generally ask the same question. I'm going to ask you guys this too. You can answer this long form, short form, or however you see fit, but how are you individually, I guess maybe since you guys are here collectively today, how are you growing in mind, body, spirit, and mushroom, and how does it look for you?
Ayahuasca journeys.
Hey, amen. It's been a couple of years for me, but I totally agree. Yeah.
All right, you're going to have to ask that question one more time.
So how are you growing in mind, body, spirit, and mushroom? And what does that look like for you? It could be practices. It could be, you know, foods, medicines, or just even the way you think. Maybe I should rephrase my question next time. I'm going to refine my question.
Yes, I like it. It's just a deep, it's deep.
It is deep.
It's deep.
Yeah. That's why we're here.
You got to go at it, or you want me to make a run?
I mean, it's hard to, you know, since we're both emotionally invested in this company, I feel like, you know, it's hard to say individually, because anything that involves this company, we're doing it together. And one of the things is giving back. There's a lot of people that are truly getting help from this medicine, and it's trying to get to a point where you can give back to people that are less fortunate or struggling. So we've been really talking about throwing an event, a nonprofit event for people. You know, we're being conscientious of the people that are hurting and suffering, and what we could do to help in any way we can. And it's, you know, trying to lead the community by example. You know, not talk about it, but get out there and do the footwork. So we are, we're getting ready to throw an event. All the proceeds are going to go to helping the homeless. We are actually going to document the whole process. We're going to go out to the stores and buy the things that they need, whether it's the toiletries, shoes, socks, blankets, waterproof gear. We're going to, you know, ask people if they want to volunteer, find out where people are congregating that they're really suffering or need the help, and then go out there and take the time to hand out to people and give back. So I feel like the mind, body, and spirit, it's about, you know, not worrying about the money and seeing what we could do for our fellow human beings, because each and every person is important. So it's, we're in the giving back phase right now. I'd say for both of us, we're growing in that, and we're getting ready to gear up to start giving back and helping the community out. So I feel like that's, you know, helping somebody to not expect anything at all in return. I think that is just super important, and something that we should all try to do, even if it's a little bit, you know, give back with no
expectation. Growing by giving. Oh yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. Growing by giving. And, you know, if anybody's energetically aware, spiritually aware, however you want to call it, you know, obviously, like, some of my things that I believe wholeheartedly are that you get what you put in, and that you could sit with that statement for, you know, a couple of minutes yourself. But, like, I know that what you give is what you get. And if you giving and you give without an intention of receiving, you receive that same energy, either 1x or 10x, depending, you know, maybe not immediately, but at some time in the future, it comes back to you. So that's amazing, Kevin. What about you, Jeremiah? Anything specifically?
Yeah, I mean, the same that Kevin had spoken on, and it was really well said. But I mean, I think that that's probably, you know, collectively, that's what our main focus is on growth as people. And and as a company, you know, it's aligned with the ethics of the company that we've cultivated, and putting focus on that has, you know, caused both of us to grow as individuals. We've had a lot of like really good heartfelt conversations that kind of blossomed this idea about giving back. And so just keeping our focus on that, and just finding the right time to get that done. You know, we fluctuated on being incredibly occupied, and then with the lull had time kind of to think about things and kind of develop things, and had made a commitment to make this project happen. So that's, you know, at the forefront of our focus, aside from, you know, keeping the company going. But when we have extra moments and energy, like, you know, that's where we're putting it at. So we're really looking forward to involving a lot of the micro community in this opportunity to give back as well, you know, and contacting people slowly now, developing a list of pillars that are aligned with feeling like this is something that they want to be a part of.
Amazing. Well, please inform me when you guys are doing something, or if I can be a part of that in any shape or form. I'm just a short 5-hour drive away, and I would love to see you guys in the future, obviously. Perfect. But you guys, thank you so much for taking some time out of your day to sit with me, to share your community with mine, to give me some of your insight and a kind of a peek into your business. I'm super excited to see where you guys go in the future. How can everybody get a hold of you? How can they find you? And tell me anything, or tell the community how they can support you.
Well, we have the website for direct, you know, people want to connect with us directly at the website for purchase and just check out the products that we make. That's www.myco-alchemy.com. Of course, we've got the socials. We're dominantly just on Instagram. Well, that's Myco Alchemy with an underscore at the end. Or people call us direct if you're an existing customer and you want to connect, 951-261-1115. Like we said, you know, Kevin's the man when it comes to customer service, and he's really there for anyone and everyone that wants to talk. If you have issues, or if you just need a couple questions answered, and or need help, you know, getting started, you know, we're more than willing to help people find that starting point and land on their feet.
Perfect. And again, you guys can use my discount code, Mycotrophic, for a discount on your next order. Awesome plates, amazing substrate, amazing grain. And I will continue to use your guys' products going forward. Thank you guys so much for coming on the podcast today. Much love. Namaste. Have a great day. Don't contemplate. Meditate. And we'll see you guys later. Have a good one, guys.
Much love.
Thank you. Appreciate it.